I'm super excited because Hillary, as usual, so good, your prophetic Hillary. Thank you for, you know, just picking all the songs that just confirm everything that I'm saying so that I have confidence to say it. Thank you for your anointing. So this morning, Stacy mentioned a few weeks ago, he's like, it's Mother's Day, you know, I want a mother to share. Like, oh, man, so much pressure. You know, but Claire and I kind of argued back and forth, but then I was like, I'll take it. No, we didn't really fight over it. Actually, we begged each other to do it, and then I finally said, I'll do it. Anyway, here I am, and this is going to be a mother's encouragement, okay? Hopefully, this will be an encouragement. One of my favorite things to do with the Lord is to do a heart check. Hearts. Is Egan's painting a heart over there? Is to do a heart check and ask the Lord, how am I doing? Where am I at? What, you know, just kind of figure out where I'm standing, what I'm doing. And it shows me and encourages me to keep going, moving forward, but also kind of just, you know, helps me remember the good things and where I'm at. And so he often will give me a picture, and that's what this is going to be. It's a prophetic word on where we are, at least what I think where we are, and where we are going. So if you could turn to Joshua 1, let's read Joshua 1. This is Joshua 1, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare the way. Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross the Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. There you go. Bill kept singing, prepare the way. He kept singing that this morning. And this is what the Passion says. Go through the camp and instruct the people. Pack your bags, for within 3 days you will cross the Jordan to conquer and occupy the land that Yahweh's servant Moses commanded you. Yahweh your God is giving you this land on the east side of the Jordan as your homeland. Therefore, your wives, your little ones, and your livestock may remain here, but all your valiant warriors must cross over with us armed. They will take the lead and help their brothers until they take possession of the land that Yahweh your God is giving them as their homeland. Afterward, you will be free to return to your own land and possess the land that Moses, Yahweh's servant, gave you here on the east side of the Jordan. Pack your bags. Are you ready? We were singing that this morning, too. Are you ready? Get ready. Get ready. It's time to get ready. So I prophesied back in the beginning of 2021 that we would be moving, not physically, but spiritually as a church body, and not just us, but the entire body of Christ. And I've thought about that often the last year and a half as we've been just seeing all the unraveling going on the earth, you know, and just having that just sense of we're being moved. And I remember back then just talking about how hard it is when you move, and moving can be a really difficult process. So first you have to realize that it's time to move. You know, it usually starts, there's like some tugging going on, some pulling, and there's some like dissatisfaction oftentimes, and we just kind of sense something is happening. Has anybody felt that before? Sometimes it's obvious because there's like a job change, you know, but sometimes it's just like you just know in your heart something's happening. And, you know, sometimes it's funny because you know for a while, and you're just kind of watching and looking around like, does anybody know this is coming? I'm seeing this. Does anybody else see it? Like what I'm seeing or what I'm feeling? And I think 2020 was like that. 2021, I mean. 2021. And we just had this real awareness that we were moving as that we watched everything just go, you know, and we're still watching that. But anyway, do you see what I see? This should be the song, you know, the theme song. But then here comes 2022, and it's as if now everyone knows, oh my goodness, we need to move. Right? There's this holy dissatisfaction and this awareness, and God has even called us to speak about this, to talk about it, to share it. And we've learned so much, and a lot of it has been painful to learn, but our eyes have been opened. And it's as if we decided, okay, I really do want to move now, you know? So we began to open our closets and go through things, right? We make a decision. There's that first, that's that time where you just decide, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to move. I don't know if all of us have fully made that decision, but we've talked about it with each other, you know, but some of us, it's like, still, should I move? Am I moving? Because I think the shock of the bigness of this move, it's big for all of us. It's kept some of us a little frozen, you know, like, does that make sense? And I'm not talking physically here, you know, this is spiritually, but there is like definitely a parallel in the earth to what God's doing with all of us together. It's beautiful, actually, even though it's hard. For me, it feels like a big move that I've made in the past, like when our family moved from California to North Carolina in 2009. But it was like, you know, it was like a big deal, God moving us from one side to the other, this big giant leap. So, you know, it's a spiritual move, but it's definitely physical too. But God is beckoning us to come to the other side. And there's been things, you know, that we have that when you move, you gotta pack your stuff and get rid of things and let go of things. And He's been calling us to move away from those things, right? And there's some things that are hard to get rid of as we pack. But He wants us to get rid of them. Some of these things, though, are bigger than like a piece of furniture that, you know, just not going to fit in the living room that you're moving into, right? It's bigger than that. Some of it's like sin, you know, that it's not such a big deal right now because it seems manageable. But, you know, if you try to take that with you, it's not good. It's not going to be good. In fact, it could kill you if you bring it with you in the next place you're going in that promised land. It could kill you. Even though it seems small and insignificant, it might destroy you. So you need to lay it down. And I feel like he's giving us the grace right now to lay some of those things down. And I'm not saying it's all sin. Some of it is like, you know, good things that we're just attached to. But even if we conquer that land, if we carry them with us, it's going to destroy the place we're going. We have to lay it down. And it could just be, it could be a relationship to something that needs to go. There's some things like, I know when we moved many times, it was there was relationships that really were good to move away from, right? And God wants us to completely break away from some things. And it's helpful when it's like a giant move, because it really does just, sometimes it feels traumatic, but it really does break it off of us. Like when we were moving over here to Fayetteville from Raleigh, and we had a house, and I didn't want to go, and God, we put our house on the market, and I was thinking it was going to take a while. You know, I had at least 6 months to hang out there in my comfort zone, and then he just like, whoosh, one day, sold in a day. We put it on the market, it sold, and cash offer, it was like giant Band-Aid ripped off, right? Woo, okay. But anyway, our closets need to be opened. And there's some big things that we need to get rid of. When the move is spiritual, so that's like a physical move, but when it's a spiritual move, our hearts have to be changed, right? Our hearts have to be changed in order for us, for that shift to fully happen. We have to have a decision made in our hearts, and there's power in those decisions. There's a lot of power. When we say yes, like this morning, we were singing that, and I was, yes. Once we make that decision, then it's easier to open the closets and see what's in there. And our closets need to be opened. You know, just like the world's closets right now are being opened and exposed, we need to do the same thing. It's really hard, you know, like last week when Michael and Abby were sharing, that was like, whoa, that was a dirty closet. I don't want to look at it. It's so hard to look at. You can't just take like a wet wipe to it either, you know. This is like a big deal. We got to do something about this, right? This isn't stuff that we just can give away, or this is stuff that we have in our closets that needs to go in the trash. Actually, it needs to be burned, you know. Actually needs like the part of the Bible where it's like, just kill everything, the whole entire thing. You know, that's how bad it is, some of these things, right? But those are the obvious things that need to go. What about the not so obvious things? When I've moved, the trash is the easiest. It's like, oh, okay, just throw the trash out. It's easy because you just know it's trash. I don't want that at all. But it's the things that I want, that's really difficult to get rid of and to let go of. It's a really hard process. We moved probably, I don't know, how many times? Many, a lot of times. And many moves that were huge leaps from, like, country to country, you know? And every time it was hard. And I had to, you know, take inventory. I had to look around. Okay, what do I have? What do I want? What do I want to take with me? What's going to stay? You know, I had to look around. And the process was similar each time we moved. It was very necessary to be aware, to be aware and to really look around and make some decisions about what's coming and what's staying. And there's a period of time where there's a lot, it feels like loss. And I think that we've been going through a lot of that too. It's just a real mourning that happens. There's so many losses that you start to feel. And I can remember walking around my house and, you know, looking at each thing and deciding, okay, well, can I get rid of this? Okay, yes, I can get rid of this, you know. And but then other things, okay, I'll come back to that later. I can't even handle getting rid of that. I know I need to, but I just don't even want to look at it. And I remember doing that and taking, you know, just all that mental inventory of what was there and what needed to go. we got rid of a lot of stuff. And one time, you know, we got to the point where we just had bags. I mean, I had packed away some of our, like, most valuable, memorable things and given them to my mom to store in her attic. But for the most part, we had a move where we literally just got down to bags, suitcases that we could carry with little kids. So, you know, you can't carry a lot when you got little kids. They got to carry stuff. It was, I mean, we did have quite a bit of suitcases, but still, when you know, each person had at least two bags at that time. So it was hard. It was really hard. It was it's probably the roughest part of the move when you're going through that process, which I think is what's happening. Again, when you're going through that process, it's hard. It's really hard. And it wasn't just about my creature comforts. It was like there was people involved. The creature comforts was just the way of processing, I think. It's helpful when you have to do that, but at the same, like, in your heart, what you're really doing is you're processing the pain of the loss of who you're with, because that's what really hurts when you have to walk away from that. But God is taking us through this really big thing right now and helping us to let go of things, I think. So I believe he's preparing our hearts for something big, a big change. We also said that this morning, changes. You said that, changes. But there was something that happened every single time I moved, every time this happened. And I would be mourning. I would be going back and forth. I'd be going, sitting with friends, and just internally just like dying inside, knowing that this was it. I wasn't going to be with these people that I loved, and it was killing me. You know, I was having like all this pain and all this loss and watching all the earthly possessions dwindle down, you know, to just little bits and pieces. And suddenly, in the middle of the heartache, suddenly, every time, God would just bring the shift. He would just bring it, and his grace would fall. It was a tangible time. It was tangible. And it would get easier. Every time, it was like from one day to the next, a completely different feeling. And I believe that's what's happening, guys. We're in the middle of a shift right now. The mourning would end, and saying goodbye would got easier, and it would stuff would start picking up speed around us, and I could feel like this coming faster. The change was coming faster to us, and it was easier to let everything go. And the grace was tremendous. It was beautiful. I really keep sensing this for us right now. I've felt it over the last few weeks, and it feels really good because I know that feeling. I know what it is, and I know it's because it smells like rain. It smells like rain, and the mourning is coming to an end, and it's time to get excited about where he's moving us. It's time to get excited because there's land to possess, right? There's land. There's promised lands that are waiting for our occupation. Stacy, you know, I don't know, a few sermons ago, he was talking about the land crying out, you know, and the earth is groaning for us to take our rightful place as sons and daughters of God. There is a great move underway, and there's promised lands ready for us to take. It's time to pack our bags, guys. It is time. So when you're moving, it's kind of a good idea to know where you're going, right? What is your promised land? Is a very important question that you need to know. How can you pack if you don't know what it is? How can you be ready? How can you get ready if you don't know for you what it is? And I think in the traumatic season, a lot of us have lost sight of our promised lands because we've been dealing with like the trauma around us and the difficulty and the losses. So we've lost sight, but it's time to refocus. It's time to refocus and remind ourselves where we are going. It's interesting that in Joshua chapter 1, he tells them to pack their bags, but then in chapter 2, he sends out the spies. Like, get ready, but then he tells them to go look, you know? Get ready, and then go see where you're going. Go see where you're going. Now, this isn't the Caleb and Joshua spying out the land. This is the Rahab story. The Caleb and Joshua one was 40 years prior. And because of the fear of the giants in the land, that generation didn't take it, right? So they had to die before this story takes place in Joshua. So an entire generation was listening and hearing about the promised land, right? And they also were, you know, I know they heard about the giants, they got afraid, but they were also, they saw the fruit. Caleb and Joshua came back with, you know, giant fruit. And they saw that, and they knew there was giant fruit there. So there was a picture of what was to come for them. And they knew there was something, right? It must have been talked about, and they must have, you know, been dreaming about it, talking about it, kind of like we do a lot, you know, what's coming and what God's going to do. And but then Moses dies, and along comes Joshua, and then God tells them to pack their bags. It's time. So it's important to know where you're going, because you need to have the strength to fight the battles when you see the fruit and know, okay, I want that, right? It gives you the strength to fight the battles. For me, my promised land can be broken down into one scripture. So years ago, we were in Australia, and we were doing a YWAM DTS, which is a discipleship training school, if you don't know what that is. And I had been hearing a lot about life scriptures and people just sharing their life scriptures, and I was very jealous. Like, where's my life scripture? And I heard it many, many times, and one day I was just complaining about it. And I remember wandering around the house we were in. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. I can picture the whole thing. That's why, you know, it was one of those God moments. And I was walking around frustrated and talking to God out loud, complaining. I'm sure Stacy was in class, and I had the little boys running around, taking care of boys, as I usually do. And then went to the bathroom. Am I the only one that hears God, like, in that place? Or the shower? Okay. It's like I always have to tell that story. I'm like, I was in the shower. Why do I have to share that part? But that just happens. I just literally was in the bathroom and complaining. And he said, he gave me the scripture. And the funny thing was, it hit me like a lightning bolt, because it was actually a scripture somebody had given me already. And I, in the house that we moved from to Australia, the house before, I had put scriptures in various places. And I would read them, you know, whenever I would do the dishes or whatever. But this one was on the fridge, and it was like this little tiny one. But I would always be drawn to it whenever I walked by. I'd be drawn to it, and I'd read it. And so that was it. It was that scripture. And the scripture is, if I can say it without crying, because it's like, and the Lord, this is Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's it. That's my promised land. And he's been reminding me of this over all my years and unfolding this in my life. The reality is becoming more real. It really is just me realizing I'm already there, right? He has been making me a well-watered garden. But there's some dreams in that garden. There's some areas of that garden that I have some more specific things about and more hopes and desires. And, you know, so for the most part, I'm in my promised land, but I know there's more. And there are territories and lands to conquer around me. And for the next generation and for his kingdom. And a lot of us are like that with, you know, in Joshua, back to Joshua chapter 1. Where it says, well, actually, I really like the Passion version of it because it calls us valiant warriors. Says, but all your valiant warriors must cross over with us armed. So they had taken some land, right? They had already taken some land, and then they had won some territories before they crossed over to the Jordan. So a couple of the tribes, they had their land. So these people, you know, they had it, and they God was calling them, the ones that have won some battles, to go with their brothers. Go fight. Put on your armor that you've already taken. You've already won those battles. And he's calling you to take your brothers and help them conquer their lands. So there's breakthroughs and promises for all of us coming, but they're even more important is the ones that we're going to win for our church body as a whole. So, but in order to do that, we need to remember who we are. We were also singing that this morning. Well, I do that often when the song is about God, I hear him singing it back to me because we were singing to him who he is. What is it? Waymaker. That's who you are. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. That's all who you are, who all of us are. And he's saying that to us. We have to remember that that's who we are. Those are the things. Who we are is what we are bringing into the next move. That's who we are. And it's important for you to take inventory of that as well, you know, because we need to be reminded of what we are carrying and remind each other of what each of us is carrying. It's frustrating sometimes, isn't it? When somebody is so glowing in something, they're just glowing in something and they don't know it, and you're just like, if you could just see how amazing you are, you know? I'm just, I just want to tell you guys that as a mom to each and every one of you. It's like, whoa, God is all over all of you. And you each have something so special. And I want you to know it. It's honestly like, you know, sometimes we have like, we pack these bags and we go on a hike or whatever. And we forget that we like what's in our bag. My kids often, it's like, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. Don't you know you put it in your bag? You had that, you packed it, remember? We have it. They'll often forget or whatever, but that's kind of what it's like. It's like we have these backpacks and you've got what you need, right? Sometimes it's like a friend will kind of, I've got no hope, I've got no, you know, I'm discouraged, blah, blah, blah. And we need to be the ones that point out like, hey, you're carrying that backpack. You forgot who you are carrying because you've got it all. When you gave your life to Jesus, your necessary traveling bag was packed for you. And you are always wearing it. Don't you see it? Don't you see it? You're wearing it, each and every one of you. You just have to stop trying to carry what's not yours. And remind yourself of who you are carrying. Because you are not discouragement. You are a hope dealer. Do you know that? We deal in hope. We're hope dealers. That's who we are. You saw that shirt? I'm a hope dealer. I think we all need it. We need to remember. You're not the storm weather man either. Right? You're a peace speaker. You carry peace because he is peace. So we're speakers of peace. We were reading a scripture at the ladies' thing on Friday night. God gave me the scripture in Acts 18:9, and basically in there it says, don't hold your peace. Don't hold it. Don't keep it to yourself. Give it out, right? And you are not condemned because of sin. You have been forgiven. You are a displayer of grace to the world. So let grace take you in this shift that's happening right now. And it's time to take off the mourning clothes because you are called to be a well of joy. Let joy take over. You've got it in your bag. You do, each and every one of you. You just need to believe it. You just need to remember and believe. So there's also been a lot of hatred thrown around, you know, in the last few years. But that's not who we are, guys. We are love vehicles. That's who we are. We're love vehicles. I like pictures, so that love we have is unending, and we cannot separate ourselves from it, remember? Wherever we go, we're standing in it. He is faithful to complete the good work he began in you, and you are carrying an open heaven on your back. You are. But you need to take inventory. So, this morning, I want for a little bit, Stacy's gonna, I send that to your phone. He's gonna play some music. And I want you to spend a few moments with the Lord this morning, taking some inventory and asking him what needs to be thrown away. Where are you going? And what are you going to carry with you? What do you need to throw away? Where are you going? And what are you taking? And let him speak to your heart, okay? So we're going to listen to some music because, you know, I got this for me. I know he's spoken this to me, and I know where I'm going, but I want you all to know so you can make that decision, right? Yourself. You need to have your own heart ready to make a decision and throw away whatever it is that needs to be thrown away. And if you have a hard time with pictures, just what stood out to you in what I shared, just think about what stood out and just let God speak to you in that, okay? So we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to meditate together on the Lord and let him speak. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Thank you that you love to encourage your kids. I just pray this morning that you would just encourage all of your kids and speak to them.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mary, can you come up and share what you got during worship real quick?
Let me tell you that this is her word is a confirmation for me, and my word is a confirmation for her. And these are things that we see, and they're coming, and they're speaking to us, and they're speaking to us to open our mouths and declare a thing, because there's power in our words. And he's been bringing back, he's bringing back things around from our past because we missed it the first time. But there's no delay in that, he says. There's no delay, because from it, you grow stronger. And so while we were worshiping, it just, he said, put your hand on the plow and take back your land. The thing, the substance stolen, our voices, our rights, our children, the children's teaching, their instruction. Speak life over them, for these things are gifts from the Father above. He has given us much. He has furnished us with the basket. We are to fill it with the productive fruit of the land. But that can't happen unless we take steps of faith toward this call. It is a call that is going out. What did I write there? Even a directive. It's a directive, a command to take back these territories, these stolen territories. For in our obedience, in the little steps of faith, putting our hands back on the plow, he will multiply it. He will multiply our obedience. He won't. For Jesus blessed the food, and it filled the basket. Jesus is the gift that fills the basket. So I bless you with that.
Read that one. Right there.
Yes, he gave me a land. He gave me this last year. But this is for now. And he said, and I knew it was the land. I knew it was the soil. And he said, take the land and eat it. Take communion with the land and believe your land is blessed. So take that thing that you are contending for in faith. Take your children back, because they are the land. We are the land. We are the house. Take that thing that has been stolen from you. Take back the territory that has been stolen, your finances, your job, your voices, your health, and speak and believe that it is blessed. Amen. So I bless you with that.
Amen. Thank you. That was just a confirmation. The Lord, we don't, again, plan, okay, this is what I'm speaking about, so sing this worship song, and the MC say this, and God just speaks, and he confirms this word. So, I want to encourage you that whatever the Lord spoke to you, in these moments about where you're going, what your promised land is, what you're carrying. Maybe you already know, like Casey, what that promised land is. Share that with some people around you in the next couple weeks, because the Lord has commanded us to fight with each other and for each other's promised land. And some of you have come into your promised land, and some of you are coming into your promised land. And there's people around you that want to fight with you, but they can't fight with you if they don't know what battle you're called to fight and where to stand alongside you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you so much for your voice. Thank you for being such a faithful parent. You good dads talk to their kids, and thank you for talking to us, your kids. Lord, thank you for your grace in your heart this morning. Thank you for breakthrough, God. I bless every single one in this room, especially the moms. We ask that they would just have an awesome day today and feel honored, and pour out your grace and your love on them in a fresh new way. Amen. Amen. Amen.